It's nice to be up here again. I haven't preached in quite a while, and as I've been preparing this week, God's just really made me excited for what He wants to share. I just want to say one thing just before I get into it. You know, a lot of time we all say, you know, like we all call each other to action. You know, we all say, you know, this is what God's saying. We should action it, you know, like we often use the phrase call to action. And I mean, that's a good phrase, but just as we were worshiping now, whenever God speaks and whenever he's busy doing things, He does call us to action, but actually it's more an action of the heart than anything else. Because out of that place, when we do take action, it's out of faith, right? So we must always just remember, like, if God comes and He wants to strengthen us, or if He brings a word, and we say, guys, let's respond to Him, it's more a response of the heart. It is going, God, this is what You're saying. I'm either not believing it nor seeing it or whatever, but I want to. Won't You stir my heart with faith so that I can take hold of what You are saying? So I just want to encourage us, when God does speak, let's just come. It's all about faith, guys. Like, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So we must come with faith and saying, God, you know, I might need strengthening today. That is the word spoken. Won't You just come and strengthen me? And we raise our faith to what God wants to do. Make sense? Cool. Anyway, that's just a side note, yeah. Awesome. So this morning, really just want to share, but before I kind of get into what I want to share, it is really just, it's been amazing just to see what God is doing in us at the moment. It really is amazing to see. And I really just want to encourage us, like I did on Wednesday, is to really still believe that God wants to and can do great things among us. That is so important. We might hear the words, we might hear, you know, what God wants to do in us, what God wants to do through us, but we have to take hold of it. And again, it's this thing of God, stir our hearts so that we want to see what You see. Stir our hearts so that we can do what You've called us to do. It really is amazing. Like, God's not done with us yet. He still wants to do great things. He wants to give us miracles. He wants to bring in the lost. He wants to raise the value of fellowship. And we really have to, like the first step is just to believe it and to come with faith. And then trust that God will do the rest. Because we can't do it. I can't save anyone. Right? But He can. But we have to have faith that He wants to. So really, it is amazing just to see what God is doing in us. And I'm really, like, I want to encourage you and urge you to really just come alongside what God wants to do. And come with faith, come with expectancy. So last week, Sunday, obviously Luke and his team from Moulton were here. It was an incredible morning. From the prophetic words that were spoken over us, obviously Luke preached on the idol of independence, which was brilliant. And he cautioned us against unyielded, unsurrendered, and unsubmitted hearts, which is hectic. And he encouraged us to give ourselves to fellowship, to koinonia. And then he gave us a picture out of Luke 5 of the disciples getting in. Jesus inviting the disciples to get into the boat with Him for a big catch. And really just encourage us to really get into the boat with Jesus, each one of us, and allow Jesus to take us deeper. And He said, even if you've done it before and you've been hurt or disappointed, this time will be different. Trust that God can do something. And I really just want to encourage us, like, get into the boat. He said to be devoted to one another and to fight the independence in us. Because that is, like, we fight against that thing all the time. And how God is saying that we should trust Him, even, as I've said now, even if we've gotten hurt in the past. And then I shared this on Wednesday, but I just want to share it again because it's really stuck with me. Luke said, there's no wind or waves in the shallow water, but there's no reward. There's no wind or waves in the shallow water, but there's no reward. And I really, like, I'm hoping that we all believe, like, this thing that we want to stand before God on the last day and you want to hear, well done, my good and my faithful servant, right? And if you want to hear that, we have to step out. We have to get into the boat. So even, you know, the call to action is just, it's a faith thing. Saying, God, I don't know what it looks like. I don't know the steps, but I want to get into the boat with you. And then also just after Sunday, I just asked a few guys just to tell me what they're sensing, because it was a significant time on Sunday. And even Luke came and rocked my boat a bit, because I had almost a very clear sense of direction that I felt God wanted us to take in. And then he just came and threw me in the water, which is a good thing. But I've just asked a few guys just for words, and then Trevor had a word this week just about invitation. How God is inviting us, and it is an invitation. He's not forcing us. He's not going to drag us through the water by the hair. He's inviting us to go deeper with him. And again, God is inviting us to let go of our independence and allow him to take us deeper when it comes to being devoted to fellowship, devoted to each other. And how we should be careful not to let the distractions or other things prevent us from going deeper with him. So really, again, take hold of that. God is inviting us. And then Nicola had a picture also after Sunday. And she said, when God started, what God started on Sunday with Luke isn't finished. And she had a picture of a pomegranate. Is that right? A pomegranate. And they really have a hard rind. And you have to really apply a very sharp knife to get through to the juice inside, or the fruit inside. And she felt that we have to trust God that he will come and cut through hard layers of our hearts, that he wants to do that. And she had the term hearts breaking, that God still wants to break into people's hearts in terms of what he's doing in us at the moment. And we really need to keep asking the Holy Spirit to continue working in our hearts as we pursue this thing of being devoted to fellowship. Because he needs to do it. We can't be devoted to fellowship. It's so countercultural. It's so against what the world preaches. It needs to be a thing of the Holy Spirit. But we need to contend for it. And then obviously we had a combined com on Wednesday night, which was, yeah, it was good. And we spoke about evangelism and how God wants to save people in our midst. And Elaine, where's Elaine? You did such a good job, Rue. Like, such a good job. he shared just this beautiful thing of what is the heart behind evangelism, and but also what prevents us from telling people about Jesus, from stepping out. And we had this moment where we can bring our disappointments, our wounds, the distractions, whatever, before God and really ask him to come and stir our hearts again for evangelism, to see people get saved. And just before I move on, we are creating space to see people get saved, but we can have to step out, right? So we have this Ladies Connect time on Saturday, great opportunity for you to invite unsaved people to that. And your job, as he also mentioned on Wednesday, your job is to invite people and trust that God will save them, because he saves them. But we have to take action in faith, right? So we have this Ladies Connect time coming up. I want to encourage the ladies, go to that thing, invite your unsaved people, and trust that God will do something, because that's what we want to see. And then on Sunday, we're going to have this fellowship time, and we're going to hear a testimony. Again, it's going to be a social time, but I loved what he said just about, it's a social aspect, but it's actually a spiritual moment, right? We can have a great time next week. We can have fellowship. We can have coffee. It's going to be great. And we're going to hear a testimony. So again, it's such a good opportunity to carry on what we've been doing from Easter, to inviting unsaved people into our midst. Tell them to come hang out. It's going to be a lack of time. We can have breakfast together and hear a testimony. And again, trust that people will get saved. So just in saying that, really just encourage each and every one of us, let's take hold of what God is doing in us in faith. And let's step out, guys. Let's get into the boat. And let's trust that Jesus will take us deeper. After Wednesday, Lane had this picture of the disciples mending their nets. And I went and looked it up, and it's in Matthew 4, verse 21 to 22. And this was Jesus now calling his disciples, and it says, going on from there, Jesus, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And different translations will have different words for that word, repairing their nets. Some translations will say mending, some will say repairing, some will say preparing. And the picture he had was that as we start to mend our nets, or as we repair our nets, that we'll be able to hold a catch. And really, that picture of the net is a picture of being devoted to fellowship. It's as the threats in between us, as it gets stronger, and as we give ourselves to each other, as we are devoted to fellowship, our nets will be able to hold a catch. And what is the catch? Souls, lost people, right? This picture is really a great picture of what I feel God is doing, because He is raising the value of fellowship, but He's also raising the value of evangelism. And fellowship and evangelism are not mutually exclusive. Like, this picture marries the two for me quite beautifully, because, yeah, as I've said, fellowship is the thread of the net between us. And as we become strong in fellowship, as we are devoted to koinonia, we will be able to hold the catch. And the catch is obviously the people that we trusted to get saved, right? So God will send people to us. God will save people through this congregation. We just have to really just give ourselves. In faith, God is stirring our hearts. And this morning in the prayer meeting, someone said, you know, like, we're not raising these values because we think these are good ideas. Like, we are raising these values because this is stuff God values, right? God values fellowship. God values the lost. So it's not our doing. It's not we think these are good ideas for church. We have nothing better to do. This is going, God, you value fellowship. You value evangelism. You want to see people get saved. You want to see that as people come in here, the love that we have for one another will tell something of Jesus. You want to see that. It's not our good ideas. And we are raising things that He values. Does make sense? So really, just as we, in the next few weeks, as we raise the value of fellowship and evangelism, really just to give yourselves to that, and you really ask the Lord to come and work. Like, we're praying every week, let's come to the Lord with faith in our hearts, going, God, we want to see this. We want to see you raise the value of fellowship. We want to see you raise the value of evangelism. And trust that He will do it, because we can't. I actually just reminded God, not that He needs reminding, it was more for my sake, but I was reminding Him for my sake, God, you build your church. It's not we. We can't build His church. We come alongside Him, and we keep in step with what He's doing, but He does it. That was a lot. Are you guys, are we on the same page? Are you guys excited? Come before the Lord. Ask Him to stir your hearts with faith. Okay. So this morning, in light of this thing of fellowship, I actually this morning want to preach on friendship. Friendship. Because God does call us to be friends. And God doesn't only call us to work together in His kingdom. He doesn't only call us to serve, but He calls us to be friends. And really, to raise the value of fellowship is to raise the value of friendship. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, are we enjoying each other's company? Are we friends? Because Christian friendship finds its basis in the friendship between each believer and God. Like, God calls us friends. Abraham gains the title friend of God by his faith and his obedience in James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Isn't that amazing? God calling Abraham his friend. And then, I mean, this always gets me, like Moses. Like, Moses' story for me is always, like, God always takes me back to Moses. Moses spoke to God face to face like you speak to a friend in Exodus 33. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. So God spoke to Moses face to face like he would speak to a friend. And that's what God calls us to, right? We call to be God's friends. And then Jesus called his disciples friends in Luke 12:4. I tell you, my friends, My friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. He calls them friends. So really, God calls each one of us to friendship, but it always starts with us being friends with God, which is we can't even comprehend that. I mean, He's the creator of the universe. He made everything, but He calls us friends, right? That is exceptional. And out of friendship with God, He calls us to be friends with each other. And this thing of fellowship is really, it's grounded in being friends. But it is important to say, well, what does the Bible say about friendship? Because we want to obviously follow that. And we don't want to be friends like the world. You know, we don't want to look at the culture and go, that is what friendship looks like. We want to look at what the Bible says about friendship. And so the question is, what does biblical friendship look like? Like, what does it look like? And I want to read out of John 15, verse 12 to 15. And I want to look at that portion of scripture in answering that. What does the Bible say about friendship? And this is Jesus speaking. My commandment is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. Isn't that an amazing portion of Scripture? So in verse 12, John 15 verse 12, Jesus asks us to love one another like he loved his friends. Like Jesus' disciples were his friends. And he calls us to love each other like this. And then in verse 13, first point of what does the Bible say about friendship is friends, you lay down your life for each other. In verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. And we won't necessarily give our physical lives for our friends like Jesus did. I mean, we might have to at someday. But day to day, you're not called to physically die for your friends. But laying down your life for your friends in our context is praying for each other, right? It's taking time to pray for one another. It's taking time. It's giving your time. It's giving your money. It's giving your resources. It's giving your energy. It's giving your devotion, and it's giving your heart to your friends. That is what laying down your life means, and that is against independence. That is not living for yourself and not having your own time and your own energy, but actually laying down your life for your friends is giving yourself in prayer, in devotion, in time. It is thinking, how can I see my friend walk in what God has for him or her, even if it is to the disadvantage of myself? Which doesn't sound that appetizing, eh? And some of us might say, well, where does it say that we have to do that in the Bible? But I mean, Jesus did that. He gave himself for the sake of others. And he calls, and that was what friendship looked like for him. And we called to do the same. It is to giving everything that we have for our friends and going, how can I make sure you walk in what God has for you? And I really believe in that place we all have true koinonia. In that place, like, fellowship will be, it will look amazing. And the cool thing is, as I take that posture, as I do that to you, someone does it to me. And as someone does it to me, someone else does it to that person. As each one of us give ourselves to each other, you do it because that's what God called you to do. But you know someone is doing it for you, right? Yes. Yes, he did. It is. Sean, that's great. Sean Brautesef, when he was here, he spoke about leading each other down the aisle for when Jesus comes back. And it's that thing. How can we get each other ready for his return? How can I make sure that you walk in everything that God has for you for when he comes back? You know, friendship in the Bible is very intentional. It's more spiritual than social, actually. So point number two is biblical friendship always takes us to a place of obedience. In John 15:14, it says, Shan's sister. It says, you are my friends if you do what I command. So in our friendship with each other, are we asking each other, we are either going to obey Jesus and his word, we're either going to do what he calls us to do, or we're not. There's no middle ground. Are we, as friends, are we holding each other accountable to what God has called us to do? Are we holding each other accountable to being obedient to his word? If I tell a friend, I really feel convicted this morning to, do something. Do I then in a week's time go, hey, bud, my friend, that's what God asked you to do. Are you doing it? We always have to take each other to a place of obedience. And that's true friendship. That's what Jesus told his disciples. You are my friends if you do what I command. We're either going to follow Jesus and his word as friends, or we're not. There's no middle ground. And we should really encourage each other as friends to follow and to obey Jesus and his word. Point number three, it's intentional. It is super intentional. John 15:15, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Very intentional. Like I say, it's much more a spiritual aspect than a social aspect. Jesus called his disciples friends, but he was intentional in his relationship with them. He always pointed them to the Father, right? I've called you friends because I'm revealing to you what God revealed to me. And what he learned from his Father, he made known to them. And I really believe as friends, we must likewise do the same. We must always point each other to the Father, always point each other to Jesus. You know, if I'm spending time with someone and they ask me, what should I do? Like, our standard question should be, well, what does God tell you? You know, have you prayed? Like, have you heard from God? Always pointing each other to Jesus. And you know, when you have a braai or when we do things, like, it's fun to have a braai, and we should braai together and we should hang out. Of course, ne? but do we only do that? Do we only come together socially as friends? Or are we intentionally in those moments pointing each other to Jesus? Are we intentional in that moments in talking about God? Pointing each other to him. Are we talking about things of the kingdom? And a great example is we went away 2 or 3 weeks ago. We went away with a couple for the weekend, and it was so lacquer because it was very lacquer and it was relaxed. And we went for walks and we did stuff, but it was super intentional as well. We had great conversations about marriage. We had conversations about work. How do we honor God in the workplace? What does he call us to do in the workplace? We had such good conversations just about Jesus and his kingdom, but it was as friends. So socially we went away with them, but it was intentional. So really just, I want to encourage us, let's be intentional in our friendships. Let's braai together and go for hikes and be in each other's homes and do those things, but it's always pointing to Jesus. It's always holding each other account in gentleness and in love, but holding each other account to what he promises, what he commands. Are we obedient to his word? What was my first point? Oh, and are we giving ourselves? Are we laying down our lives for each other? Are we spending time with one another? Are we praying for one another? Jesus often prayed for his disciples, and they were friends. One of the greatest examples in the Bible of friendship was between David and Jonathan. I was spending time reading this week. It is it's amazing. 1 Samuel 18. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David. And he loved him as himself. I mean, even just that is profound. From that day, Saul kept David with him, and he did not let him return to his father's house. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic, and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. And like, this is really the best passages where we see that, I mean, we don't have it, but in Proverbs 18:24, it says, you can have friends who sticks closer than a brother. And this is such a good example of that. And I just want to highlight a few things. If you can just go back to verse 1, thank you. It says in verse 1, Jonathan became one in spirit with David. And now, I've been asking this week, God, what does that mean? Like, it sounds a bit weird, if I'm honest. Like, what does one in spirit mean? I mean, people have misused this text for their own agendas for years. But what does it actually mean? And Jonathan was so invested in the plans and the purposes and the destiny that God had for David. That was the one thing. He was so invested in what God had for David that he became one in spirit with him. He was so for David and for what God wanted to do in him that they became one in spirit. And they were friends. And that's what God calls us to do. And this bond between them really speaks of unity that we see in Philippians 2:2. Then make my joy complete, Paul speaking, by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit. There's that phrase again, one in spirit and purpose. It was like this unity between David and Jonathan, that Jonathan was going, David, I see what God has for you. I see the destiny, the plans, and the purpose that God has for you, and I want to give myself to that. And that's what we've called to do. And that is a beautiful thing, right? And that's not something that we can do. But that's something that God calls us to do. Can you just go back to that Samuel? Thanks, Sans. So that's the first thing. Jonathan became one in spirit with David. And then he loved him as himself. He loved him as himself. Actually, says it twice in verse 1 and in verse 3. And made, I mean, we can talk about Jonathan making a covenant with David and the significance about that, but he loved him as himself. And that, for me, is the opposite of independence. And that speaks about true fellowship we see in the Bible. Because we are willing to look at ourselves, right, at any cost, right? Like, if you have to save your life, if there's someone in your house, and or if you're busy swimming and you get caught in a current or something, you can do whatever you can to save your life, right? We are willing to look after ourselves at any cost. We are. I mean, if it comes down to it, you'll do whatever you can to save your life. And do we do the same for our friends among us? And we're also willing to have conversations with ourselves. I mean, if God convicts you of sin, you have a conversation about sin with yourself, you know? If I mean, even like eating healthy, like how often do we eat healthy this week, you know, like, or even exercise, like, I need to start exercising. Like, you can bring yourself to do many things, right? You can have hard conversations with yourself because you love yourself. And that's what we're called to do with each other. We're called to love each other like we love ourselves. And then just the last thing that I want to say about this is Jonathan's loyalty to David runs deeper than his loyalty to his father or his own ambitions. Yeah, that is a big one. David's loyalty to David runs deeper than his loyalty to his father or his own ambitions, because his father was king at this stage. So that made Jonathan what? Prince, and he was going to be king, right? He was going to be king. And if you read the Bible commentary on verse 5, if you can just go to verse 5, the fact that Jonathan gave David his robe and his tunic and his sword and his bow and his belt is very significant. Because Jonathan was willing to forego his own inheritance as Prince of Israel. He was willing to lay down his own ambitions. He was next in line to be king. for David's sake. How hectic is that? I mean, very intentional. Jonathan was very intentional. And the question I have, and this is more of an encouragement, is are we so invested in our friends, in our friendships, that we are willing to do the same? Because true fellowship is really maintained in true friendship. Am I willing to go, I want to see you walk in what God has for you, and I'm willing to give everything that I hold dear, my ambition, even in a kingdom, my ambition, what I feel God's calling me to do, I'm willing to lay it down for your sake. Because that's what Jonathan did here, that's what Jesus did. And that's and in that place, we find true fellowship and we find true friendship. It is saying that I love you so much that I'm willing to forgo my plans, my ambitions, my inheritance for your sake. And the last thing I want to say is friendship is really a gift of God. It is such a privilege to be able to call each other friends. In his book, The Four Loves, C.S. Lewis said this. In friendship, we think we have chosen our peers. In reality, a few years difference in the date of our births, a few more miles between certain houses, the choice of one university instead of another, the accident of a topic being raised and not raised at the first meeting, any of these chances might have kept us apart. But for a Christian, there are, strictly speaking, no chances. A secret master of ceremonies has been at work. Christ, who said to his disciples, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you," can truly say to every group of Christian friends, "You have not chosen one another, but I have chosen you for one another." The friendship is not a reward for our discriminating and good taste in finding one another out. It is the instrument by which God reveals to each of us the beauties of others. How amazing is that? So friendship is really a gift of God, and it really enables us to see the beauties of each other. It enables us to see how God grows each other, how God extends his kingdom in and through each other, and really to be part of that, to celebrate when we see victory in each other, to cry with each other when there's loss or pain. It really is such a privilege to be friends, because we are able to see the beauties, the kingdom of God coming in each other. So I really want to say, last thing, let's see, I mean, it's heavy giving yourself and laying your own life down, but the thread between all those things is just to enjoy each other, just to really enjoy one another. The common thing we have is Jesus. And let's enjoy that. Let's do hikes and let's go for brides and let's go to the beach and let's enjoy each other's company. Let's continue to have fun with each other and let's laugh with each other and sometimes for each other as well. You are allowed to laugh at someone when they do something weird. It really is a privilege to have a community of believers who strive forward for the gospel, but who can still be friends. So really this morning, as we raise this value of friendship, of fellowship, let's be friends. Let's really strive and try to be friends with one another, because it is hard, right? Life is busy, kids are busy, work is busy, schools keep you busy. So in the midst of all that, let's strive to be friends. And let's keep it intentional. Let's call each other to be obedient. Let's lay down our lives for each other to glorify him and to see him, as I've said at the start, as we do that, to see him bring in people. And people go, "What do you guys have? Like, how do you guys love each other like this?"